Let's give everybody a round of applause one more time. How many of you, when they were counting, you were counting with them just to see that you still got it, amen? I got lost around 80 there, but hey, it's okay. I'm 35 years old. And I know for sure those kids probably know more, a lot more verses than I do, at least having memorized. So thank you, Miss Myers, for investing in the lives of our children. And that is a blessing. Really, the most impressive thing I think of the program tonight was not necessarily their knowledge. I think it was just the fact that five-year-olds can stand up so straight and listen, amen. Praise God for that. I guess it is possible with a little bit of structure and discipline there, but thank you so much. Please turn your Bibles to Psalm 78 if you have one with you. Psalm 78. I had two options in my approach for the message tonight. I can either stand right in front of our five-year-olds over here and just preach to them about candy and dinosaurs and all that wonderful stuff, or I can give a challenge to us as parents, amen, in light of our children and making sure that we can have a bright future with our children. You heard Pastor Myers mention this in the beginning of the service. When we look at children, we think of what? We think of them as being the future. I want to add to that a little bit tonight. More than just having a future, more specifically, we want them to have a future in God, amen? A future in God. Let's read Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. I want us to keep in mind as we read this passage, any time that you hear anything about a father translating or teaching something to their child about the word of God, I want that to stick out to us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he hath established the testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare to them, to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And let's pray this evening for the message. Father, please help me to be very clear. I have a very, very clear agenda in my message tonight. I want to be a blessing to our families. I want us to think about the future. Lord, the present is such a short time, but our future is right before us. I pray, dear God, that you would help us to not only invest in today, but to invest in tomorrow. We love you. Thank you for all we've seen tonight already. In Jesus' name, amen. There are many things that we as parents do to teach our children. Some teach their boys how to shake hands like a man, amen. No fish handshakes. Some teach their daughters how to behave like a lady, how to dress like a lady, how to talk like a lady, how to act like a lady. Some pass down traditions from their childhood to their children so they can have their own traditions. But what is the greatest thing that we can teach and pass on to our children? Do you ever wonder what type of parents your child's going to be? Do you ever wonder in future generations to come in your family, will they know God? Will they be saved? The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse number 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In the passage that we just read, Psalm 78, we see it very clearly that the psalmist is warning parents to teach their children, and that the children would then teach their children the laws of God and to remind them of the praises and wonderful works of God so that they would not be like their forefathers, which were rebellious and did not follow in God's ways. In a nutshell, we're to pass on to our children a multi-generational vision that honors God and that does not forget his works. Amen. The goal that we should have in having a multi-generational vision is actually seen in verse number 7. If you could look at that with me, verse number 7, Psalm 78, the Bible says that they might set their hope in God. Really, what that means is salvation. I want my children and my children's children to set their hope in God. I want them to place their hope not in Buddha, not in Muhammad, not in good works, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the goal behind having a multi-generational vision. But it doesn't just stop there with salvation. The Bible also says in verse number 7, and forget not the works of God, but keep his commandments. I don't just want my child to know of God. I want them to know God and live for God. and live for God. The goal for our children shouldn't be just, as I mentioned, to know God, but I want them more so to have a personal relationship with Him so that I can be guaranteed, not guaranteed, but so I can put my children in a better situation to make sure that we have a brighter future in God for many generations to come. Really quick, because I'm not going to be long at all. This will probably be the fastest message I've ever preached, and all of God's people said, amen. Here are three things to consider in making sure that we have a future in God for many generations to come. Number one, very simply, keep God before our families. Keep God before our families. This is why church is so important. Long ago, when I was a teenager, before I was a husband, before I was a father, I made a decision that whenever the church doors would be open, that I would attend. Why? Because church is important. Church is important. If the Bible can help my family learn about God, and if learning about God can keep my family stable and godly, then church is important. We need to make that decision that church isn't just for convenient times. Church isn't just for when we had our beauty sleep and we're ready to go. Church is a priority. We should revolve our life around the things of God. Not only is church important in keeping God before our families, but the Christian school is important. I'm not just saying this because I'm the principal, but I'm also saying this because I'm the principal of our school. Let me say this. It is vitally important for us to give our children a Christian education. Because let me say this. Everybody's trying to teach your children. The TV's trying to teach your children. The music station's trying to teach your children. Those videos on YouTube are trying to teach your children. Why not put them in an environment where there's a godly teacher that loves your child and that would surround them with a godly environment? Now, understand this, that no Christian school is perfect because we have people, amen? Wherever there's people, sin always seems to follow. But I thank God at Pacific Baptist School that God is emphasized on a daily basis. We have Bible class. We have opportunities for them to share prayer requests. We have opportunities for children to learn to praise God through blessing time. What a blessing it is to hear these children quote all these verses, some that maybe we didn't even know were in the Bible. What a blessing that is, and we get that from a Christian education. Not only is church important and a Christian school important in keeping God before our families, but probably the most important, a home life, a good home life is important in keeping God before our families. Home life consists of what we allow to happen in the walls and the corridors of our home. Home life consists of the example that we show our children, our testimony, our character. What do our children see? And by the way, moms and dads, and dad here, our children are learning from us. They're learning from us. As I mentioned in the beginning of my message, I was going to mention, oftentimes you'll hear it said to a little child, you act just like your dad. You act just like your mom. And why is that? Because if they live in our home, somewhere down the line, they're going to pick up some habits. That's why it's crucial for us to have a good example at home. We ought to be hard workers. We ought to show character. We shouldn't be lazy. We should show that we love the Lord. Our children ought to be able to see us open up the Bible and spend time with God. Our children ought to be able to see us on our knees praying on behalf of our family. Our children should be able to hear our dependency upon God through prayer time. Our children ought to be able to see us give worth to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by praising Him on a daily basis. What do our children see at home? And by the way, if all of us had a button to press, I want my child to succeed. I want them to do something special for God. We'd all press it, but it doesn't work that way. It's not as easy as pressing a button. We have to live the life. We have to live the life. Not only is it important for us to keep God before our families, point number one, in order for us to have a future in God for generations to come, but number two, we should not limit our children's potential based upon our past or present failures. And really, this is the point I want to drive home. All of them I want to drive home, but this one especially. I've heard it time and time again. I've been in the ministry for a little bit of time here. I've talked to married people, single adults, teenagers, young people. I've talked to newborns, amen? And this is, I think this is the one thing that holds a lot of families back. You have a mom, you have a dad that made some mistakes when they were a teenager, maybe when they're in college, and all of a sudden, they feel so guilty in raising their family with holiness. Why? Because of some scars that they have in their lives. Let me say this. I'm sorry that you had a hard time. I'm sorry about some of the mistakes that you've made, but let's not take it out on our children. They are a bright new opportunity, and I know the devil as an accuser will come by when we're getting ready to rebuke our children, and he'll say, who are you to get on your little son for doing something so small when you've done something 10 times as bad? I remember when I was 5 years old, my dad's back there. I don't know if he remembers this, but he was holding on my hand, like most dads should when they're getting ready to cross the street. But being as strong as I was and rebellious as I was, I remember as a five-year-old, Juan Aparo and 16th Street, where those mansions are right over there in Eastside Long Beach. Amen. If you guys don't know where that's at, there are no mansions there, okay? But I remember holding onto his hand, and he was like, all right, here we go. He was talking to his friend, and I did a little karate move, let go, and I ran across the street. I was 75% successful. 25% of the way I got hit by a car. And no, I didn't call Larry H. Parker, and no, I'm not rich. I remember as a five-year-old, looking at my son right now, I got hit by a car. I don't even remember what happened. I don't know. Maybe my legs are fake. I have no idea. But you know what? That was a result of being rebellious. I remember as a five-year-old with my other sister, I forget which sister, Piram back there, we almost set the house on fire, just lighting things in the trash can. And just, actually, that's more so her fault. She's 4 years older, amen? Man, what rebellion. I remember my other sister over here, she's got a beauty mark right here. I hate to tell you, it's not a beauty mark. It wasn't a mark from God. It was a mark from her brother. As a 4 or 5 year old, I went up to her with incense. That's the reason why her husband married her, that mute beauty mark. So she needs to thank me. I remember going up to her as a 4 or 5 year old and walking directly to her with this Buddha incense, trying to make her holy. And I remember I poked her right. If you go, everyone look at her afterwards, right? Right here. Right there. Like, I don't know. I mean, right now it's probably like an inch away, but you know, the eyes have stretched a little bit, I'm sure, over time. Can I tell you something? I was a pretty bad kid, but just because of my rebellion and because of my mischievousness, that shouldn't mean that I'm just going to give my son over to the world and the devil. He's a new opportunity. We ought to view our children as a new opportunity and leave the past in the past and look at our future as a bright opportunity to serve God with our families. Hey, the good news is they won't have the scars that we had, amen? The good news is they may get the blessings that we missed out on because of the mistakes that we've made. Oh, please don't allow your past failures to tell you or to keep you down from having a godly family. You can have that. Next, another tragic decision that we make as a parent is not to live for God ourselves in the present. And again, I don't take it lightly to preach behind this pulpit, but I understand something. When I open up the Bible, I'm not going to tip around the tulips. The Bible is very clear that we're supposed to be an example to our children. That's the bottom line. Hey, listen, I don't want Kobe Bryant and Stephen Curry and LeBron James to be their example. And by the way, if you have a poster of them on your wall, I'm not preaching against that right now. I want to be his example. I want to be her example. I want to be their, not just example, but their godly example. The most hurtful home situation that a young person can experience is a Christian, is a home with a Christian title, but an ungodly environment. Is a home with a Christian title, but an ungodly environment. It's just too confusing for them. Just too confusing. They're taught that cursing is wrong, yet they hear it maybe during movie nights. They hear it often on TV. They're taught to avoid an angry person from the Word of God, yet they're surrounded with anger in the home. Let's get our homes right. Let's get our lives right. Yet the opposite is true. With a godly home environment, coupled with a godly church and a godly school, working together as a team, our children will be in the best position to ensure that they will have a future in God. Do we really believe that a future in God is the best way to go? If it is, there's steps that we got to take. You can't have the product without the process. You can't have the product without the process. Number three, and I'm done. Number one, how do we ensure that we have a future in God for many generations to come? Number one, keep God before our families. Church is important. Christian school is important. Our home is important. Number two, don't limit our children's potential based on our past or our present failures. And number three, how do we ensure that we will have a future in God for many generations to come? Protect your children's purity. Protect your children's purity. The Bible says, Proverbs 20, verse number 11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. I look before me here. Half of them are asleep right now. There is a sincere, sit up straight, son. Come on now. There is a sincere purity that's represented before me this evening. I remember when this boy was born, my first child. I remember the awkwardness of, number one, the nurse is asking me to cut the umbilical cord. Seriously? I mean, I should have practiced on like a thick rubber band because that was a weird feeling. I mean, good night. It was like, it didn't want to go, and I thought I was hurting him. Of course, he was crying already, and I felt like, man, is this like the first time I'm disciplining him? What's going on here? And I remember as I held him in my arms for the first time, and if you've been there, it's an amazing feeling. Like, wow, he's half me? Like, wow. oh no, right? And I remember looking at my son, and maybe you've been here. I wouldn't doubt if you did. I remember making all my promises to God when I was holding my son. I remember making covenants to God. I remember saying, Lord, help me to be the dad that he needs me to be. Oh, Lord, help me to put away my immaturity. Lord, help me to grow up. Lord, help me to be responsible. Lord, help me to work hard because I don't want to just bring a life into this world, though I know you are the one that breathes life into this world. But I don't want to bring him into this world and then just treat him with disrespect and not give him a godly home and introduce him to drama and introduce him to trials and introduce him to heartache. I don't want that, Lord. You've given me a son with great responsibility, and I want to fulfill it. Amen. By the way, if you made that decision as well when your children were born, I got a question for all of us, myself included. Are we wavering on our commitment to God? Do we still want to ensure a bright future for our children? By the way, I love my family. That's why I preach messages. Like, I love it. I love my wife. I love my children. I mean, there's a lot of responsibilities that I have, but my greatest responsibility is my family. I want a bright future for them. I don't want to take away obstacles from them because that's going to help build them. Amen. I don't want to make life easy for them, but there are just some things that they don't have to deal with, and I want to make sure I do my part. I remember my daughter the other day, she just made like this weird comment. My wife, she was trying to get her to eat food, and my wife said, Audrey, don't waste that food. That's money. And I remember Audrey looked at my wife, and she said, Mom, I don't see money. You know, that's just the innocence of a child. I mean, my son has said, and I probably can't mention it behind the pulpit, but numerous amounts of times, things that are just, what in the world? That doesn't make any sense. But you know why? Because they're so innocent. They're so pure. Those eyes have not seen the things that maybe I have seen. Those ears have not heard the things that maybe I have heard. Those children, our children in this room, they may have not done the things that we have done as parents. But let's make sure we keep it that way, amen? Just because we've had a life maybe that was wasted, a span of time in our life that we introduced sin, doesn't mean that we need to allow our children to be a part of that. Let's keep them pure. Guard them from the wrong influences. Guard them from the wrong influences. They're friends. You know, my son, I don't know how many friends he has. As long as they're in the school there, that's fine. But he's got to be careful. My daughter's got to be careful. I've got to be careful. Too many of us are flippant with our friends for our children. It's just, go ahead and go here. Go ahead and go there. Go ahead and spend a night here. But we don't understand that those influences may change the direction of our children's life. I can tell you right now that most of the sin that was, the really, really, really bad stuff that was introduced to me by a friend. And it only took a day. It only took a time. It only took one outing. It only took a slumber party. Let's be very cautious about who hangs out with our children. Let's not just have them go out anywhere. Understand that we must guard them from the wrong influences. Next, their entertainment. Their entertainment. We're living in a day and age where it is easy to access almost anything on the internet. Can I get an amen? That's just the way that it is. I didn't have an iPad back then. I didn't have an iPod back then. We had 28.8K. Is that what it was called? 56K. Amen. Oh, man, I got 56K. Here it is. It's only going to take me 5 hours to download this game, this demo. Okay? But now, I don't even know what it's at now. I just know I want to watch something or do it just loads up right away. It's dangerous. I see sometimes parents get so excited because they're a five-year-old. They'll say, wow, they know how to do everything on the iPad. I don't think that's a good thing. I really don't. Because let me tell you some of the things that I've seen teenagers do, okay? They know how to delete things so that no one knows where they're going on their, iPad or iPhone. It's the dangerous world out there. We must guard our children from the wrong forms of entertainment. One wrong moment can change the course of their life. One wrong moment can take their heart away from their parents. Watch what they watch on TV. My wife, she's very good at this. I think she just likes cartoons. But she loves to sit down to watch with the kids, and I'm thinking she's having a good time. But really, she's trying to figure out which cartoons they can watch because some of the stuff on TV is just not good anymore. Yeah. It's crazy. But why is that important? Because she's trying to guard them from the wrong influences. Lastly, and I'm done, goals and dreams. Protecting our child's purity involves protecting their goals and dreams. Listen, all of us want our children to be successful. All of us want our children to make it in life. But let's be careful not to have our own goals and dreams supersede the Lord's. Let's be careful. It's not second rate for them to live for God. By the way, not everyone I understand is going to be called into the ministry. But let me say this. Not everyone's going to not be called into the ministry. Your child may be a future missionary. Your child may be a future pastor. Your child may be an amazing Christian doctor. But let's not limit them by pushing our dreams before God's dreams. The best thing I can do for my child, and I'm closing my Bible, the best thing I can do for CJ, Audrey, Andy, and Alani is just teach them to read the Bible. Teach them to pray. Teach them to love God. Teach them to do right. Teach them to have a godly testimony. And by the grace of God, I hope that when it's that time for God to continue to reveal his perfect will for their life, they'll be close enough to God, they'll be sensitive enough to God, that God can just show them the direction they're supposed to go. And whatever that is, I will be pleased. But if I'm not teaching them how to get close to God so that when he's ready to reveal it to them, they can hear, they're not going to get it. They're not going to get it. In closing, these children were celebrating their K-5 graduation. But in addition to that, probably more important, let's celebrate their future. And not just any future, but their future in God. And let's pray.